On the night he was elected, Barack Obama stressed the need to confront America's adversaries and keep the nation safe.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you. To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Days later, President Bush, who was leaving two wars and a continuing battle against terrorism to his successor, pledged a seamless transfer of power.
Ensuring that this transition is as smooth as possible is a priority for the rest of my presidency.
To make good on that goal, Bush administration officials say they have exhaustively briefed the incoming Obama National Security Team on all facets of America's dealings and operations pertaining to defense, intelligence, and diplomacy. And they have provided comprehensive reports on conflict zones around the world with contingency plans and options should an international crisis emerge during the early months of the Obama administration. Outgoing National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley says this unprecedented effort is appropriate for America's first wartime transition of power in four decades.
We thought it was important in this different kind of transition for them to know what they have to work with, what kind of policies in place, what kind of relationships are in place, and what kind of tools they have available, and what we at least think are the challenges that are going to hit them quickly.
But some analysts see an additional motive behind the Bush administration's efforts to prepare the incoming Obama team. Anthony Cordesman is a national security specialist at Washington Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Every administration makes a real effort to brief the transition group, and it does so not purely out of altruism. It obviously wants to have a legacy to see continuity in policy. And so there's a very strong motive to provide the best transition possible.
Cordesman notes that contingency plans are nothing new in the U.S. government, particularly concerning national security. He says the incoming Obama team has every reason to listen to the briefings it receives, but is under no obligation to follow the advice it is given. During the 2008 presidential campaign, then-Democratic candidate Obama repeatedly criticized President Bush, particularly on national security and foreign policy decisions, such as the 2003 U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Mr. Bush made no secret of his view that Republican John McCain would make a better prepared and more experienced commander-in-chief than Mr. Obama. Bush administration officials have not signaled that their efforts to prepare the Obama team in any way reflect a continuation of that view, or that the transition briefings would be any less thorough had McCain won the election. Rather, they say they are aware that they are leaving much unfinished business on the world stage for Mr. Obama to tackle, and that they want to be sure the new president is armed with all possible information for doing so. Appearing on ABC Television's This Week program, the president-elect said the transition briefings have been informative, but contained little in the way of startling news.
Most of what I've learned are things that I anticipated, partly because I was in the Senate, and although I wasn't on the Intelligence Committee, we would get top secret briefings. So there hasn't been something that was eye-popping. But, you know, the situation still requires vigilance.
Members of the incoming Obama National Security Team are not speaking publicly, but other prominent Democrats are praising the ongoing transition. Thomas Mack McClarty served as President Clinton's chief of staff.
In this point in time in the life of our country, it's very critical from a security standpoint to have an orderly transition. And I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing that in a very skilled, professional manner.
President-elect Obama takes the oath of office and becomes the nation's commander-in-chief on January 20th. Michael Bowman, VOA News, Washington.